You are the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name.
When Larry asked 2 or 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night, were there any volunteers to speak on Sunday morning? Knowing it was Mother's Day morning. You know, I was sitting in the back and not a single person raised their hand. Imagine that, you know. And so I told Larry I would do it, and I'm certainly honored to stand before you this morning and talk about Mother's Day. First of all, let me say Happy Mother's Day to all you that are mothers or aunts or grandmas or wannabe aunts or just somebody you've adopted or whatever the case may be. Thank you for the job that you do. Being a daddy is hard sometimes, but I can imagine being a mama is way, way harder. I know it was in our house. There were four boys and daddy, and most of you know Uncle Gene. He was there 98% of the time at our house, and then there was mama. You know, she didn't stand a chance, but she persevered through it all, and she was wonderful. So happy Mother's Day to you ladies. Now, why Mother's Day? I didn't know. I looked it up. Why do we have Mother's Day? So here it is. I guess it was on Google. I don't know enough about computers, but I found it somewhere. So the question was asked, why Mother's Day? The first response that Google or whatever gave me says, your mother is quite possibly the first person you ever knew when you entered into the world, which that makes pretty good sense. I mean, you know. And she loves you and cares for you as you grow up. You didn't get that other picture, did you? Okay. Joe, you're saved for right now. Let's talk about your mama. Now, how many of you, now you don't have to raise your hand, but I'll go with this. When any of us in our family got sick, do you think it was daddy that came running to help? Negative. Daddy did not. And I'll give you a story. We lived in Rome, and we would come down every so often to home, to Damascus. And we had a young man come rode with us that was at the Cave Spring School for the Deaf. Now, Dad, I don't even know if you remember this, but I remember it. We go from Rome to Cave Spring to Cedartown to come home, and the boy gets bad sick. He throws up all over creation in the back seat of the car, and there's four more boys in there, and we're all, doing like that. And Daddy says, Eileen, you take care of this. I'll go up the hill and get, thank you, John, it works. I'm sorry. I'll go up the hill and get a wet rag or something from somebody. Yeah, I can remember that. So your mama was the first person there when you were sick or when you are sick. Joe, got a picture this morning from your mama. And if Dee could have got it on the screen, I would have had you. Joe gave Heather a Mother's Day gift. Now, you picture this in your mind. Joe cleaned up his room. Now, there was a pile of dirty clothes about this high, about this wide. And I think he laid them in Heather's bathroom and said, Happy Mother's Day. Joe, that ain't the way to go, I'm telling you. Today is not the day. Oh, you're getting a real gift, too. Okay, that was the joke, huh? Okay. So your mama is there to wash your clothes. Again, there were four boys in our house. We all played sports. Well, it didn't matter, we were playing. And mama washed uniforms and more uniforms and more uniforms. Kevin, the blue and white little Arlington baseball uniforms we got, which Larry, you got hanging up at the hub. I bet my mama washed those things 1,000 times for me and Robin. Mark was too old. He didn't get to wear one, I don't think. But she did it. She washed your clothes. She washed my clothes. Who do you go to see when you're hungry? It usually is not daddy, is it? Mama, what you got in the kitchen? Mama, what you got in the pantry? And mamas keep stuff stashed away. You know, my mama was no different. She had something all the time for us to eat. Now, it wasn't Miss Celestine's chocolate cake, but I knew where I could go to get that, so we were okay with that. But mama kept food for us. Mamas are your fashion designers or your fashion coordinators. It works well at our house. Matt and I are not really, really fashion coordinate conscious. So Nan and Sutton have to kind of, you know, that does not look good. You better try something else. You know, change this, change that. So your mamas are your fashion designers. Your mamas, and in many instances, guys, our wives are our common sense. Now, if you like I am, I don't buy a whole lot of things from time to time, but when I go, I'm ready to buy something. And Nan will talk me out of it a lot of times. You really don't need that right now. Maybe we need to save for the, and y'all have been there. Y'all know that. So these are some of the things that our mothers and our wives do for us or to us that keep us on the straight and narrow. So how did Mother's Day get started? It says Anna Jarvis is credited with starting Mother's Day in 1908. She did it as a memorial for her mother, and it took place at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Apparently this lady's mother was a saint like most mothers are, and she wanted to memorialize her or remember her. Well, not long after that, in 1914, it became an official holiday when President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. And then within a few years, this idea of a Mother's Day gained national and international acclaim and attention and prominence. And so there's the background for our Mother's Day. Now, guys, I'm going to pull us out of a hole right here. Without raising your hands, how many of you have not got your mother or your wife a Mother's Day present? Don't raise your hand because I don't want you to get in trouble. Well, Anna Jarvis, the woman who started Mother's Day, spent the last 10 to 15 years of her life trying to get it taken off the calendar after she had done started it. She was worried that it was becoming too commercialized. So there you go, guys. Just tell your wife I didn't want to be a part of the commercialization of Mother's Day, so I didn't get you nothing. So we're good. We're hanging in there. So I made a point on that. Okay. All right, so as I was continuing to look on Google or whatever it was, found these two quotes, and I think we can all attest to this. It says, "The greatest love is a mother's. The second is a dog's. Then comes your sweetheart's." Now, y'all, that's pretty truthful now. Nobody can outlove you like your mama. Nobody loves you like your dogs. Because when you come home and you've had a bad day, they still want to love on you and play and lick you and whatever. And then comes your sweetheart. Now, that's nothing against the sweethearts now. Don't get me wrong there, because I wouldn't be anywhere without my mother and my wife. But then the second quote, and I needed to send this to my mama-in-law, but I don't know if she would have got it. "Behind every successful man stands a surprised mother-in-law." Now, D, a little bit surprised there, ain't you? Okay. Now, y'all, that kind of hits home, doesn't it? My mama-in-law, I love her to death now. She's one of the greatest women in Baker County I know, but she's from Baker County, okay? We'll leave it at that. She's coming up to the world sometime soon. All right, so guys, before we get to the 10 things your mama never told you, I'm going to give you 10 ways that you can celebrate Mother's Day. And ladies, this will be for you too if your mother's still alive. So if you want to write these down, that's okay. If you can remember them in your head, that's okay too. So the number one way, it says, to celebrate Mother's Day is to bring flowers. Now, how many of you ladies really, really want to get flowers? Now, come on, we can raise your hands on this. Miss Celestine and Tammy want flowers. Nan has told me don't ever get me flowers. They die, they wither, just take me out to eat. We'll be okay. So we're good with that. All right, so the second one says, give your mother a live plant. I ain't going to call no names, but I know some ladies that can kill a plant just graveyard dead in a heartbeat. Okay, so, you know, take that for what it's worth. The third one, design and plant a garden. Now, most of y'all know that when we were growing up, we had a garden, a big garden. We fed half a Calhoun in Early County, I believe, and Mr. Hollis came over and planted, looked like 6 acres of peas for us to pick or something. It was terrible. My mama didn't ever design or plant the garden, but she took everything we got out of that garden and made it useful. So maybe that's something to that. Okay, I asked Nan if she wanted this one this morning. Bring Mom breakfast in bed. She looked at me like, nah, that ain't gonna happen. So if you want to bring Mom breakfast in bed, go ahead. Cook Mom a special dinner. I asked her that last night about 8 o'clock. She says, yeah, you want to go ahead and grill the chicken now? A little too late tonight, Mama. We'll work on it tomorrow. This next one, I've seen several men do it, and my uncle was one of the best, but it hadn't passed on down. But it says, bake a cake. Kim, I think you've got the cake baking for everybody now, so we're good. We'll just come to your house and eat some of yours. Make a homemade gift. Now, y'all, that's getting to the point. That's getting to the point. I know Mama had several things in a trunk that she kept for all of us boys forever, of things we had made either at school or vacation Bible school or wherever, and she kept them in a trunk. So, yes, that one's important. Give your mother pictures of you, and I said, nah, we better slash that and put grandkids. Give your mom a picture of your grandkids if you've got any. Give your mother jewelry. Okay, guys, we're in the hole now. Better hang on to that one. And then the last one of the things that it says you can ways you can celebrate your mom is to make your own card. Make your own card. And that we did that in Team Kid with the kids for years. We'd make Mother's Day cards, Christmas cards, whatever kind of event was happening, we'd make cards and the kids would carry them home. They do it in Vacation Bible School. Cheryl and the craft arts and crafts crew make a lot of things that kids can carry home. So there's 10 things, guys and ladies, for your mothers that you can do. Now, I want to read Scripture this morning, and John told me, as long as it was, that we all just go ahead and say amen and go home when I finish reading it. But I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to skip from place to place. But the Scripture comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. So I'm not going to read all of it, but let me kind of give you a little background here. At the beginning of the chapter, it says, these are the wise sayings of King Lemuel of Massa that was taught to him at his mother's knee. So here's a king. His mother has taught him all these things when he was a young boy, I guess, so that when he ascended to the throne, he would have these things in mind. So she's going all through the part, hard liquor, don't do that, don't get with these women, let them drink, do this, do that. So he gets to verse 10 and he says, if you can find a truly good wife, she is worth more than precious gems. Her husband can trust her and she will richly satisfy his needs. She will not hinder him, but help him all her life. Now, what I'm reading is not quite matching up with that. I'm reading out of the Living Bible, and I think that's the New American Standard Version or whatever we're reading out of. If you can find a truly good wife. There's a saying, and many of us men have heard it, that we outpunted our coverage, or we outdid ourselves. And yes, we have outdone ourselves with a wife. A good wife, a God-fearing wife. There's no telling where 98% of us would be without a good wife. And so that's what this lady's telling her son, who's going to be the future king. And it goes on from verse 13 through 24 and talks about some of the things that this wife does in this scripture. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She buys imported foods brought by ship from distant ports. She gets up before dawn and provides breakfast for her household and plans the day's work for her servant girls. She goes out to inspect a field and buys it. With her own hands, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic, a hard worker, and watches for bargains. She works far into the night. Now, guys, that's where the ladies get the shopping. She watches for bargains. It's in the Bible right there. So, you know, you can't fuss when she goes shopping. 4 years ago, 1st of July, I had the opportunity and the privilege to speak at a funeral. You know, how do you speak at a funeral? That's not a privilege. The lady whose funeral I spoke at was a classmate of mine at Mercer. She was on the tennis team. I was on the baseball team. So we saw each other fairly regularly. And this young lady graduated from Mercer. She went to medical school, became a research doctor up at Duke University up there in Raleigh-Durham area. And she had two sets of twins, boy and a girl, boy and a girl. After she had been a research doctor at Duke for 10 years, she decided she wanted to go back to law school. Man, you've lost your mind. But she went back to law school and got a law degree. And I asked her, I said, why? She said, there's so many Hispanic people. She was from South Florida, down around Miami, and she was of Hispanic origin. She said, there's so many people in this area that don't have anybody to represent them. She said, I'm not trying to make a mint. She said, I'm going to be basically doing it for free for these people. So she went back and got a law degree. Four young kids, I mean really young kids. And then a year or two after she got her law degree and started working, one day her heart stopped. Just 40-something years old and her heart stopped. And she told us, she said, I was dead. I was literally dead on the emergency room table for I don't remember how long it was. It was more than 3 or 4 minutes, okay? We're talking maybe 10 minutes. And they got her heart started back. And when Nan and I saw her getting all this information, she was wearing like a fanny pack that had basically the controls to keep her heart beating. Now here's a mother, four young kids, research doctor, lawyer, raising these kids, and her heart stops. Just out. When we met her, 5 or 6 years before she died, we were in Tifton. I think Sutton and Matt went with us, and we went and visited with her. She was on her way from Florida back up to North Carolina, and we went and met her in Tifton, spent an evening with her. She was just as energetic, just as glad to be a part of it all as anybody could be. And yet, y'all, her heart had stopped. If it wasn't for that, I guess it was a souped-up pacemaker. I don't know what it was. She'd have been dead. She told me, she said, Mike, it doesn't matter. God's got this. And for her as a mother, she wanted to convey that to her young kids. Yeah, I've got this. God's got this. Whatever happens to me, we got it. God's going to take care of it. Y'all, that's the kind of mothers that we need. That's the kind of mothers many of us have had. And that's the kind of mothers we want our wives and our daughters and people to be when they grow up. I want my daughter to be able to follow the example of many of you ladies in here. I want her to be able to follow Nan's example. That's the kind of people that this author is talking about. So she goes on and talks a little bit more about sewing and fixing things up, which not many men can do. I had Judy Jordan teach me, come to the house and teach me exactly how to sew on a button and how to do this and that. Boy, I was good for about 2 weeks. And then when I didn't sew on any buttons for about 2 weeks, I was like just as lost as I could be trying to sew buttons on. Now I've got a stack of clothes about this high that need a button, pants, shirts, whatever. And I'm scared to ask Judy because she'll make me learn how to do it again, but that's okay. So the lady goes on, the mother goes on telling her son, and we'll pick up in verse 25. So John, if y'all, or Luke 25. Thank you. She is a woman of strength and dignity and has no fear of old age. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule for everything she says. She watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household and is never lazy. Her children stand and bless her. So does her husband. He praises her with these words. And then in verse 29, there are many fine women in the world, but you are the best of them all. Charm can be deceptive and beauty doesn't last, but a woman who fears and reverences God shall be greatly praised. Praise her for the many fine things she does. These good deeds of hers shall bring her honor and recognition from even the leaders of the nations. Yeah, that's the kind of women we need. That's the kind of mothers we need. That's the examples our kids need to be looking at. Are we perfect? No. Nah. But you're not going to tell that to your wife, so, you know. You let her think she's perfect. She's pretty close. She's pretty close. So what do we do? How do you thank your mother? You know, my mama died last August. This is the first Mother's Day we hadn't had her. But I remember all the good times I did have and all the things that mama taught us, all the things, all the times she took care of us. And for those whose mothers are already gone, yeah, that's all you have to do is remember. But for those of you whose mothers are still here, take the time to thank them. Take the time to say, Mom, I appreciate you washing my clothes, getting the food we need, buying the groceries, whatever the case may be. And so, as we get ready to end this, we're good. As we get ready to end this, I've got, and I don't know where I guess I found this on Facebook, D. I don't know where it came up, but as I was preparing to do this, to get ready for this, bam, this came up. And so, John, if you want to turn this, this will go to 10 things your mama never told you. Now, I'll read them because it might be a little tight up there, but it says the first one, you made her cry a lot. You know, I can remember mama crying some, a lot of times. And it wasn't at me, no. It was usually at Robin, okay? And those of y'all know Robin, y'all understand that. She wanted that last piece of cake. It hurt her when you behaved badly. She was always afraid. She knows she's not perfect. She watched you as you slept. You know, I thought about that one. And I've seen Nan do it with Matt. And so when they were little, she'd just go in there and watch them sleep. I'm like, Nan, you know, let's go to bed. I'm tired. So I'm going to watch them. But I never thought about your mother watching you as you get a little bit older. So we'll see. She carried you a lot longer than 9 months. It broke her heart every time you cried. She put you first every time over her. And then the last one, she would do it all over again. Yeah, that's a mama. That's you ladies. And I thank you for it. Thank you for the example that you've been in my life, in my kids' life, and in many, many other lives. Because without you, we wouldn't be here. We couldn't make it on our own. We'd mess up royally. So this Mother's Day, thank you, mamas. Thank you for all you do. Chris, would you lead us in a quick prayer then, please?